In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. It's a true pleasure to be with you this morning and to share with you. I know it's been a while, and I'm just going to say this quick preface, and it's coming from my heart, and I don't mean to embarrass anybody or anything like that, but there's a reason why we're still here at St. Paul's. It's a long drive. And beginning of this year, we were actually considering going to the Episcopal Church, St. Peter's in Carson City. And we were agonizing over it because I don't know if you know my story, but my story is that my bride and I, Christine, were trying to figure out where we were going to worship together. And we were pregnant. And not really, but Christine was expecting, at one point we had one child, and Christine was expecting, and we had a really hard time finding a place where, frankly, we could even sit in worship with a baby, let alone use the nursery to change a diaper. The reception that Christine got was pretty ugly, one Sunday morning at a church that we'd been attending for quite some time, and frankly, they knew that I was their clergy. And we came here, and our baby made noise, and we were smiled at. We came here, and our child made noise, and we were asked to stay in worship. And you made us part of your family. And I'm not here as often as I'd like to be, because I'm gone so much, and I want to be connected. And you know what? Having to get my kids into bed at night and be here in the evenings when there's things going on and all that is life, I want to be more connected to church, right? And so I'm thinking, well, maybe I'll go somewhere like I'll be in Carson where it's right there. And we showed up on Sunday as we were making this decision. And Lucy came down the aisle for communion yelling for her daddy. And that Sunday, there was a man sleeping in the gazebo trying to stay warm and dry. And nobody rustled him out and kicked him out. We let him sleep. There's a lot of ways to make a joyful noise to the Lord, and you all do it right here each and every Sunday. Praise God. I'm so, so blessed to be a part of your community. And enough said. So it's Memorial Day weekend. We get this one confused, yeah? It's not Veterans Day when we honor those who have served and who are still with us. It's not Armed Forces Day when we honor those who are serving. It's Memorial Day. It's the day when we honor those who gave their life, that we would live free, and frankly, that others would live free around this globe. I want to tell you two stories. The first is Father Emil Capon. Have any of you ever heard of Father Capon? All right. Okay. So I'm really glad you haven't heard of Father Capon. Hit YouTube. Go if you do that. There's a great movie on, actually there's a few different things, but there's a really great movie where the men who were with him talk about him and his life. But Father Capon died May 23rd, 1951, in a Korean prisoner of war camp. He served in World War II, and he served in the Korean War. And he died in that Korean War camp because he literally gave himself for those who were there. The conditions were deplorable. They barely got enough food to survive. The lice were so bad that if they allowed the lice to overtake their bodies, they would die. They would not wake up the next day because they were so weak that the lice feeding on them would kill them. And Father Capon would put himself between the guards and those that they were wanting to harass, harm, etc. He would do things to get himself put in solitary confinement. He would give away the little bit of food that he got so that other people could eat and live. And he would literally take the time to pick the lice off of those who had given up so that they would continue to live. And it went on to the point where he didn't eat enough to sustain himself. He got sick. He wound up getting an infection in his leg. And ultimately, he died in that prisoner of war camp. Posthumously, he was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor, and he's currently a candidate for sainthood in the Catholic Church. The epitome of selfless service. In 2009, 2010, I was in Afghanistan. Our squadron were battle space owners in Logman province. And we provided the force protection for 11 PRTs across Afghanistan. A PRT was a provincial reconstruction team. We literally had teams of individuals who worked to rebuild Afghanistan. During that time, my brigade lost 64 individuals. And my division lost 114. I want to tell you a little bit about one individual that died while I was there. He was our motor sergeant. And he didn't have to be there. His name was Anton Ramesh Phillips, staff sergeant. He was a 63 Bravo, and it's not significant to you to know that, but it is for me because when I enlisted in the Army, I was a 63 Bravo. I was a mechanic for small vehicles. I learned how to change tires and crank a wrench and do all those things for about a year, and they realized I was a chaplain, and they made me a chaplain. It's a whole other story. Dang recruiters. He was a father of two. And his wife had abandoned him and the girls. So he was a single father of two. And because he had a jacked up family care plan, i.e., what do you do when you deploy, he didn't have to deploy. But instead, he left his girls with his grandmother, and he deployed with his unit to Afghanistan. While he was in Afghanistan, his grandmother died. The only family that he and his girls had, they could not find his wife. She'd literally left the country. He went home. He buried his grandmother, and he left his children with his battle buddy's wife so that he could come back and be with his men and his women. He had a motor pool that actually had about equal numbers of men and women in it, and there were things going on that FOB that I won't talk about today and probably can't talk about today. But he literally was those females' defender, and he did not want to leave them alone for fear of what might occur. He went back to Afghanistan when he didn't have to, yet again, unfortunately, to be killed in action. His daughters today are about 15 years old and 16 years old, and the family that they know is not their blood. He died defending the people of Afghanistan and making their life and their world a better place, keeping them safe from those who would harm them. That's the meaning of Memorial Day. So John there we go. John chapter 14. It's an interesting passage. I think that we use it for good and we use it for ill. On the good side, we talk about Jesus being with us, about not being abandoned. We hear about the blessing of the coming Holy Spirit and the peace of Christ, which is beyond anything that we've known in this world. On the other side, I think that we use it as a proof text to justify our own proclivities. Everything that I've commanded you, right? Live as I've told you. And it becomes a denominational or a personal discourse for my own beliefs and understandings so that I can define what my world looks like. Have you ever run into that? But let me tell you what Jesus actually said. Can we talk about the commandments that Jesus really talked about? You ready? Matthew 22, anybody know it? Amen. Okay. You want to continue, Kirk? That's it in a nutshell. Okay. Would you like to finish the sermon? Okay. I mean, but it's it, right? You shall love the Lord your God, right? With all your soul, and Matthew says, with all your mind. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The first and the second, and they're both equally as great. Love God and love people. That's the command. In a nutshell. That's it. And we pile so much junk on top of it. And we exclude and we include based on the wave of my own mind instead of what it is that Jesus said. So Judas goes to Jesus and he says, so, tell me how we're special. Tell me how it is that you're going to show us things and not show others things. And Jesus comes back. Completely different perspective. And he says, live as I do. Abide in me. And know this. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit who's going to walk beside you. He's going to teach you, care for you, comfort you, encourage you. But then, this is the key to the whole passage. I'm going to give you peace. Don't be afraid. But guess what that really means? I'm going to give you peace. Don't be a coward. I'm going to give you peace. Be courageous. It's not about necessarily what I'm going to do for you. It's how you're going to go live your life. Did you catch that? Just like usual, Jesus takes everything and he just flips it upside down. Hey, how are we special? Hey, tell me about how you're going to give us stuff you're not going to give the other people. And Jesus says, I'm going to give you a responsibility that's greater than you can imagine to go live courageously. And I'm going to walk alongside you, and I'm going to help you, and I'm going to be there for you in the midst of all of it, no matter how hard and how difficult it is. Can I get an amen? Amen. How many of you have ever heard of FOPO? Who knows what FOPO is? F-O-P-O. FOPO. Nobody knows what FOPO is? Are y'all living under a rock? You don't know what FOPO is. Oh my goodness. Come on. No FOPO? Okay. Fear of other people's opinions. Oh. Fear of other people's opinions. Michael Gervais. Anybody heard of Michael Gervais? Leading psychologist, high-performance coach for the Seattle Seahawks. Any Seahawks fans in the house? I'll pray for you. Here's what he says. The greatest fear of modern times is what other people think. I'm going to swear in just a second. I'm just warning you. I'm going to swear. Okay, this is a quote. So our job is to love others and not give a shit what they think of us. Wow, is that life-changing or what? Is that Jesus or what? We live our lives today, and I'm just going to take a little tiny piece, but we live our lives in such a way that we put ourselves out there waiting for likes and views and positive comments. And when people don't react the way we want, we delete them. We're afraid of putting ourselves out there for what somebody will think and say, and I have this great quote, I'm sorry. Okay. I can't find it. It'll come, don't worry. So Michael says, vulnerability is how we train our emotional capacity. The more we become vulnerable and demonstrate courage, we expand our capacity to feel. Now, why is that important? Because it's about right now. It's about this. It's not about what happened yesterday or the baggage that I have that causes me to do X, Y, and Z for fear of what other people think. It's not about what's going to happen if he pushes me away and tells me I'm a jerk, or he laughs at what I have to say, or if he disagrees with me. It's about being in relationship right now. But how many of us can stay focused that long to really be with somebody in that way? We have such a hard time. But Jesus says, go love them just as you love yourself. What in the world does that mean? I have a hard enough time loving myself as it is, and you want me to love other people the way I love myself? That could be a little jacked up. Right? I mean, that's why I'm so afraid of what other people think of me. Because I allow all this baggage to weigh me down and keep me from being who I truly am. But Jesus says, be vulnerable, be in relationship, right? He said, abide in me as I do with the Father. He said, the Holy Spirit is going to be available to you even when I'm gone. You're not going to be orphaned. You're not going to be alone. Don't be afraid, right? Live courageously. Nelson Mandela spent 27 years in the prison in Robben Island, and when he was inaugurated president of South Africa, he invited his jailers to his inauguration. Do not be afraid. My coworker's husband went in for stints 2 weeks ago, and they took him out of the procedure and said, you have to have triple bypass. And Monday, he had triple bypass. And he's home today with his dog, healing. Do not be afraid. On Friday, I was trying to kick everybody out of the office as early as possible. And some people left by noon. Others got out of there by 3 o'clock. And my family program staff was still there because they were working issues that people had all day long. And the last one came in at 4 o'clock, and they walked into my office and they said, hey, you might as well go home. We're going to be here for a while. We've got somebody who had a brother die, and he needs to go home. They need 2 tickets to get home. They have to leave on Tuesday, and we've got to come up with $2,500 to be able to get them home to bury the brother and take care of family business. One phone call. 45 minutes later, I was locking the doors and we were on our way home. Do not be afraid. What is it? What are your challenges? What's the stuff that gets in the way? What is it that you're afraid of? How is it that you need to be courageous in your life? Do not be afraid. Be courageous. Know that you too can abide in him. Know that Jesus and God are there for you. Just as Christ abided with the Father, so too you can abide with them. Know that the Holy Spirit is here to lead and guide us, to hear us and to walk the path with us before and behind us. Know that Jesus calls us to be courageous, just like he called the disciples to be courageous. Kick FOPO in the teeth. Don't worry about it. Do what he's calling you to do. trust that he's going to walk the journey with you. It's not always going to be easy, amen? I mean, I walked in this morning and I was told that somebody, if they knew that I was preaching, they would have gone to the Buddhist temple instead. It's not always going to be easy. Jesus was beaten and killed. It's not always going to be easy. But there's resurrection. There's resurrection. There's hope on the other side. And God is with us. Amen? Amen. Amen.